If you have a Bible, turn to Matthew. It's the first book in the New Testament. And I'm going to read Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 to 33. The famous story of Jesus walking on water and calming the storm. So, Matthew chapter 14, verse 22 says, "Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them." Verse 25. "And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, 'It is a ghost.' And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid.'" Verse 28. "And Peter answered him, 'Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water.' So he said, 'Come.' Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, 'Lord, save me.' Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, 'O you of little faith, why did you doubt?' And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, 'Truly, you are the Son of God.'" This Christmas season, the title of our message series is Emmanuel, which is the Hebrew word that means God with us. And the reason why I've chosen this story this morning is the declaration of the disciples here in the boat to Jesus saying, "Truly, you are Emmanuel. You are the Son of God. You are God with us." But let's back up a little bit before we get there. The first couple verses of our story, it says, "Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when evening came, he was there alone." We need to back up a little bit. This day was one of the most momentous, action-packed days in the life and ministry of Jesus Christ, at least in the life of his disciples. It began in the beginning of the day when the news of John the Baptist's death came to the disciples. John the Baptist's head has been cut off. He's dead. And Jesus said to the disciples, "Let's come away. Let's go on a little retreat. Let's get some time to ourselves to process this and think about this." But what happened? As they went out into the wilderness, the crowds got wind of where Jesus was, and they flocked to him. Thousands and thousands flocked to Jesus there in the wilderness, in the middle of nowhere. And what did Jesus do? Jesus did what he always does. He ministered to them. He healed them. He cast out demons, and he taught them the truth, the kingdom of God, all day long. And at the end of the day, what did the disciples say to Jesus? At the end of the day, they say, "Lord, send these people away so they can get some food." And Jesus says what to them? "You give them something to eat." And they say, "Lord, even if we had a whole year's worth of wages, we couldn't feed this crowd. It says there were 5,000 men. Now, that doesn't include women and children, so there's at least 20,000 people there. Even if we had a whole year's worth of wages, a salary, we couldn't buy enough bread to feed all these people." So he says, "Well, what do you have?" So they find a boy with 5 loaves and 2 fish. You guys know the story. And Jesus says, "Okay, tell everybody to sit down." And they sit down, and Jesus says, "Come to me." He takes the bread. He prays. He blesses it. He thanks God for it. And he begins to distribute it to the disciples, to distribute to the crowd. And what happens? The feeding of the 5,000, one of the great miracles. Somehow, we don't know how, God multiplies this bread. And there's enough to feed not just 5,000 men, but also their wives and their children. 20,000 people on that day are fed. And we know that they got enough because there were leftovers. There were 12 baskets full. And now, after Jesus has fed the 5,000, he says to his disciples, "Okay, guys, you get into the boat and go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee." and I will stay here. I'll dismiss the crowds. And so that's what happens. The disciples get into the boat. They sail along the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus dismisses the crowd. And then what does it say? Jesus goes up by himself into a mountain to pray. Now, later on, the text tells us that Jesus came to his disciples in the fourth watch of the night. That is, between 3 to 6 a.m. So Jesus here spends basically an entire night in prayer. Have you ever studied Jesus' prayer life in the Gospels? If you've never studied Jesus' prayer life in the Gospels, you need to. It's one of the best studies you can do. You know, if it was so necessary for Jesus to pray, how much more necessary is it for us to pray? But it says in verse 24, but the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. So the disciples are in the boat, and a storm comes. Now, if you read the Gospels, you'll notice that there were lots of storms on the Sea of Galilee. And that's because there's a lot of storms on the Sea of Galilee. If you know anything about the Sea of Galilee, here we have a couple of maps. You can see a map of the land of Israel, a geographical or topographical map, and then the other side is a close-up of the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee is the lowest freshwater lake in the world, the Dead Sea, the lowest body of water in the world. Sea of Galilee is about 600 to 700 feet below sea level, and yet on both sides of the sea, you can see here, on both sides are mountains. And so you have this very extreme change in elevation, and that causes high winds to come across the waters of the Sea of Galilee, and that's why Sea of Galilee is known for sudden violent storms. I had the chance to witness this myself in November 2015. My brother and my father and I, we went on a trip of a lifetime, a 10-day tour of the land of Israel. And I think we were on the Sea of Galilee for about 1 or 2 days. And it just so happened that as we were at the Sea of Galilee, stormy weather came up. And I remember the day that we had planned the journey, you know, to sail on the Sea of Galilee, the captain had to, we were still able to sail, but he changed the route because of the weather. And the next day it was much worse. The storm had gotten much worse. And I remember we were visiting a museum, and I just went out, my brother and I, we went out on the dock, the Sea of Galilee on this day, and just, you know, you just feel the wind blow you away, and just looking out on the Sea of Galilee, at the white caps and the waves and the wind, and I just remember thinking to myself, wow, I would not want to be in a little fishing boat out in the middle of this thing right now. But it says in verse 25, and in the fourth watch of the night he came to them walking on the sea. I love that. Now, as I said before, the fourth watch, the final watch of the night, was 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. I mean, can you imagine how exhausted the disciples were? They spent this long day ministering to all the crowds and feeding 20,000 people. And then Jesus tells them to get into a boat. And I mean, being in the middle of a storm is exhausting, not just psychologically, emotionally, but they're rowing all the time against the waves. They're, you know, pitching the water out of the boat all night long. But it says that in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus came to them walking on the sea. You know, it's interesting that if we read the Gospels, there are many storms. And isn't a storm a good picture of our lives? The problems in your life, the difficulties in your life, is not a storm a great picture? The darkness, the wind, the waves, the fear, the uncertainty, is that not a great picture of the difficult things, the difficult situations, the problems in your life and in mine? You know, as I think about our church right now, just off the top of my head, I know that there are many of you who are going through storms, right? You're going through very difficult times. Some people are dying. Well, I mean, we're all dying, but some people are, you know, further along than others. Others of you, you may not be dying, but your husband, your wife, your father, your mother, your brother, your sister, your son or daughter is dying. Storms in life. Perhaps your marriage has fallen apart or is falling apart. Or perhaps you're married, but in reality, in your heart, it's dead. Storms in our lives. There's drug addictions. There's abuse. All kinds of difficult things that we're going through. And I love how it says that Jesus came to them walking on the water. Jesus has power over the storm in your life. Amen? Jesus is in control. The very thing that is endangering, the storm that is endangering the life of the disciples, Jesus is walking right on it. It shows that Jesus says, I have control. It doesn't bother me. I am in control. And it's the same way in your life and in mine. We need to understand, remember, that Jesus walks on water. Jesus walks on the storm. He has control over the storm of your life. He is in control. And yet, if we look at verse 26, it says, when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, it is a ghost. And they cried out in fear. Jesus was right there with the disciples, walking on water. He had power over the storm, and they didn't see it. They didn't see him. How often are our lives like that? We're in the middle of the storm. Jesus is right there, but we don't see him. In fact, they saw him, but they thought he was a ghost, and they were terrified. How often is Jesus right there in the midst of our storm? But we can't see him, and we're afraid. We're terrified. In verse 27, it says, but immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. Here we have in verse 27 this first statement of Jesus in our story. Very simple statement. Jesus says, take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. Jesus speaks to the disciples in the midst of their storm. And I want you to receive these words of Jesus in the midst of your storm this morning. Whatever it is that you're going through, whatever storm you're going through, these are the words of Christ to you. Very simple. He says three things, and I want to unpack this for us this morning. The first thing Jesus says is, take heart. By take heart, what this heart, word heart is courage. Take courage. Have courage. Have confidence. What does the word courage mean? I love the Oxford Dictionary's definition of courage. It's a very simple definition. The Oxford Dictionary defines courage as strength in the face of pain or grief. Strength in the face of pain or grief. Courage is not the absence of a storm. Courage is strength in the midst of the storm. Jesus says, have courage. Find strength. We need strength, courage in the midst of life's storms. Well, you say, yeah, better, easier said than done, John. Of course I want to have courage. Of course I want to have strength to endure through this storm. Where? How can I have strength? How can I have courage? Look at the second thing Jesus says. Jesus says, it is I. Now, in the Greek, in the original language, ego eimi, I am. The better translation of this is, I am. Jesus says, take courage, I am. What's the source of your courage? What's the source of your strength? I am, Jesus says. I am your strength. I am your courage. Jesus is the source of our strength, our courage, in the midst of life's storms. And we know that I am is very significant, right? It's the name of God. Remember Moses? Moses said, God, what's your name? And what was God's answer? I am that I am. Tell them that I am has sent you. God chose the name Yahweh, Jehovah, the Lord. His name means I am. Isn't it interesting that the name God chose for his people, for all generations, for all time, I am. In other words, I'm with you. I'm present. I'm not far away. I'm not absent. I'm with you. And if God is with you, then you have everything you need, right? If God is with you, you have all the wisdom you need. You have all the strength you need. You have all the courage you need. You have all the love you need, all the peace you need. God is with you. That's all you need to know. Jesus says, I am. You know, it's interesting with a few, I've been studying the I am statements of Jesus with a couple other pastors. We're going through this book together, this devotional book, Journey with Jesus. And lately we've been studying in our morning devotions the I am statements of Jesus. In the Gospel of John, Jesus makes 7 I am statements. You know, he says, I'm the bread of life, I'm the light of the world, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, I'm the true vine. 7 times in the Gospel of John, Jesus says, I am. And each morning, as part of our devotions, we've been studying these I am statements. And it's just been so refreshing for me in my own life to recognize Jesus says, I am. And he is everything I need. And because Jesus is with you, you can have courage. And Jesus says, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. That's the third thing Jesus says. Take courage, have strength in the face of your grief, of your pain, of your suffering. Because I'm with you, you do not need to be afraid. And I just wanted to read a couple verses in John 14:27, Jesus says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. I love that. The promise of Jesus this morning is the promise of peace, not the peace of this world, not the peace based on yourself and your strength and your determination. It's the peace that Jesus gives. It's the heavenly peace. It's based on his strength, his ability, his power, not yours. It's the peace which passes understanding. He gives to all who believe in him. That's what Jesus says in John 14:1. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. And in John 16:33, Jesus says, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So that's the first question I have for you this morning. It's very simple. Do you know that Jesus is with you in the midst of the storms of life? And will you allow that fact, the simple truth that God is with you, that Jesus says, I am, will you allow that to take away your fear and give you courage, give you strength in the midst of your storm? Well, let's continue on with our story. In verse 28, Peter answered him, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. He said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. Don't you just love Peter? He's kind of like the comic relief in the Gospels, you know. Someone said of Peter, he was often wrong, but never in doubt. Peter was often wrong, but never in doubt. Have you ever known someone like that? You know, they're never in doubt. They're always confident, and yet, you know, oftentimes they're wrong. It's kind of like my son Jonas, you know. That's the way his attitude is. Hey, you know, Peter was like, Jesus, if you can do it, I can do it. Just tell me to do it, I'll do it. I can do it. And my son Jonas is like, hey, Daddy, if you can do it, I can do it. You know, this attitude. But hey, Peter's boldness and self-confidence comes in handy here because guess what? Peter gets to walk on water. None of the other disciples did. So Jesus says, come. And he walks on the water. But then in verse 30, what happens? When he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, O, you of little faith, why did you doubt? You know, isn't this a beautiful story? We've talked about the storm and Jesus walking on the water. There's so many pictures, so many symbols in our text this morning. And here, once again, we have such a wonderful symbol, such a wonderful picture in this story of Peter for our lives. You see, Peter put his eyes on Jesus, and he began walking on the water as he had his eyes on Jesus. But what happened? As he was walking, he began to look around at the wind and the waves, look down. I'm walking on water. And what happened? He fell. He sank. What a great picture for our lives. Where are your eyes at today? In the midst of your storm. We've got our eyes on the Lord Jesus. We can walk on water. We can do the impossible. It's not us. It's not me. But it's Jesus in me. As we keep our eyes on the Lord, he gives us the strength to walk in the midst of the storms of our lives. But so often, what do? We start looking around. We take our eyes off the Lord. We start looking around and we get scared as we look at the wind. We look at the waves. We start thinking about, I don't have time for this. I don't have the money for this. I don't have the strength for this. Our resources, my ability. I'm not able to do this. How can I do this? And what happens? We sink under the weight. We sink under the weight of our problems. We sink under the weight of the problems of those around us, those we love. As we look at their suffering and their difficulties, we sink. What's the solution? Peter got one thing right. You know, he took his eyes off the Lord and he started sinking, but Peter got one thing right. What was the one thing Peter got right? When he started sinking, what did he do? He put his eyes back on the Lord. He reached out his hand and he said, Lord, save me. And it says immediately Jesus took his hand and pulled him out of the water. And once again, Peter was walking on water with the Lord. Again, what a great picture, isn't it? You know, let's be honest with ourselves. We've all taken our eyes off the Lord and started sinking in life, right? It's happened to us all. What's the solution? When you get your eyes off the Lord, you start looking around at the wind and the waves, you get afraid, you start sinking under the weight. What's the solution? Put your eyes back on the Lord. Reach your hand out to him and cry out, Lord, save me. You know, that's what the name of Jesus means, right? The name Jesus means the Lord saves. Jehovah, Yahweh, saves. If you put your hand out to the Lord, he will save you. If you've taken your eyes off of him, put your eyes back on the Lord. He will save you. But look with me at this final statement of Jesus in our text. It says that Jesus takes Peter by the hand, or Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Now, if I were Peter, I would have said to Jesus, Are you kidding me? I just walked on water. Didn't you see? No one's ever done that except for you, Jesus. But Jesus says to Peter, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? Faith and doubt. Faith and doubt are kind of opposites, aren't they? I mean, faith is trust. Faith is confidence. Faith is certainty. What is doubt? Doubt is uncertainty. Doubt is a lack of confidence, mistrust. O you of little faith, why did you doubt? You see, as long as Peter had his eyes on Jesus, he had faith. But when Peter took his eyes off of Jesus, doubt started to creep into his heart. Isn't that like you and me in life? You know, as we have our eyes on the Lord through the storms of life, faith grows. We get to know him more and we get to trust him more. And faith develops, faith grows in our hearts. But when we take our eyes off the Lord and we begin to look around at the wind and the waves, what happens? Faith disappears and doubt begins to grow. This word doubt comes from the word twice. You know, James talks about a man of doubt being a double-minded man, being pulled in two different ways. And isn't that what it's like? When we take our eyes off the Lord, then our hearts and our minds, we're pulled, we're distracted, we're pulled in all kinds of different directions, right? It's doubt. And so it's the question for you and for me. Where are we looking at? Who are we looking to? If we look to the Lord, faith will grow, trust will grow in our hearts. But if we look away from him, we look around at the storms of life, the difficulties, will be pulled in different directions and doubt will begin to grow in our hearts. And so this morning, the question for you and for me is, what are you looking at? Where are your eyes this morning? Are your eyes on the Lord? Or are you looking around at the wind and the waves? Are you growing in faith? Is your faith in Christ growing because your eyes are on him? Or is doubt growing in your heart as you look around at the storm of life? And the third question is very important. If you're sinking this morning, because let's face it, all of us, once in a while, like Peter, we take our eyes off the Lord, we start looking around, and we sink. And if that's you, it's simple. If you're sinking, will you stretch out your hand? Like Peter, will you cry out to Jesus, Lord, save me? If you do that, he will. Well, let's finish this text. Verses 32 and 33, the final verses of our story, says, when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. And that's why we're reading this story this morning. Because the disciples here worship Jesus, and they proclaim, truly, you are the Son of God. And this is the first time, at least the first time in the Gospel of Matthew, this is the first time that the disciples proclaim, Jesus, you are the Son of God. They finally realized who Jesus truly was. He's not just an ordinary human being. He's not just a good teacher, a good man. He's not just a prophet. But Jesus is truly the Son of God. Who else has power to walk on the water? Who else has power to calm the storm? I mean, the storm has been raging all night long. All night long. And as soon as Jesus steps into the boat, what happens? The storm is calmed. The wind ceases. Truly, you are the Son of God. And the question for you and for me this Christmas season is, who do you say that Jesus is? As I said last week, the question that Jesus asked the disciples was, who do you say that I am? Who do you say Jesus is? That's the most important question anyone will ever ask you. Who do you say Jesus is? And your answer is the most important answer. It will have, that answer to that question will have more impact on your life than any other question. Who do you say that Jesus is? The disciples finally understood, Jesus, you are the Son of God. You are Emmanuel, God with us. And so it's the question for you and for me. Who do you say that Jesus is? Do you believe Jesus is the Son of God? Do you worship Jesus Christ as the Son of God? And I love how it says that Jesus calmed the storm. Jesus calmed the storm. Isn't it great when Jesus calms the storms in our life? How many of you have ever experienced Jesus calming the storm in their life? Jesus, so often, he calms storms in our lives when we follow after him. You know, for me, I think a few years ago, about 5 years ago now, when we had started this church and there was a split in the leadership. And half the leaders went one way and we went the other way, and there was a lot of conflict, a lot of turmoil. We had just had our son Jonas, and it was a difficult time in our life in many different ways. It was a stormy time in my life. And yet, as I look back now, I realize, wow, Jesus calmed that storm. We reconciled, and God blessed us, and Jesus solved that problem in our life. So often in our lives, as followers of Jesus, Jesus calms the storms in our life. And yet I know we're thinking the fact that, well, there's a lot of storms that he hasn't calmed. He didn't do this. He didn't do that. And we understand that Jesus is not going to calm every single storm in our lives in our lifetime. I mean, death, when someone dies, when someone we love dies. When are we ever over it? That hole will always remain in our hearts for that person. And yet, you know what the comforting thing is? Ultimately, Jesus will calm every storm in this world. Amen? You guys believe that? Let me say that again. You know, Jesus calms lots of storms in our lives. And it's wonderful to experience. Our faith grows when we see him calm a storm in our life. And yet, there's always storms that remain, at least in our perception, in our view, it seems like not every storm is calmed. But there will be a day, ultimately there will be a day when Jesus will calm every storm in your life and in this world. Amen? Amen. I hope you believe that. You know, my wife and I, we just started reading a book called 90 Minutes in Heaven. Raise your hand if you've read that book, Don Piper. It's old. I mean, only a couple people. Raise your hand if you read the book, 90 Minutes in Heaven. You know the guy that dies and goes to heaven and comes back? Like two or three people. Wow. It's an old book. I mean, it's been around for over 10 years. I'm kind of ashamed that I've never read it. It's an awesome book. But the story of this pastor, Don Piper, he gets in a horrible auto accident and he dies instantly. He was dead for 90 minutes. The paramedics came, no pulse, declared him dead on the scene. They didn't worry about him. They tried to get to the other people in the accident. And then another pastor comes and prays for him, and 90 minutes later, all of a sudden he has a pulse and he survives. And he's been traveling for years talking about it. But during those 90 minutes, he went to heaven. And he talks about it. In the book, 90 Minutes in Heaven, he talks about what heaven is like. And it's so unbelievable. You have to read it if you haven't read it. But truly, we can say of a truth that in heaven, when God comes back, all the storms, all the difficulties, all the pain and the suffering and the problems of this life will be calmed. They will be solved. God will calm. Jesus will calm all the storms. And so do you worship Jesus as the calmer of all your life's storms? Well, I'd like to conclude. This morning we've reflected on the story of Jesus walking on water and calming the storm. This story speaks to us about the storms in our own lives, the pain and suffering, the hardships and difficulties of life that we and those we love experience. Jesus' words to you today in your storm are, take courage, I am, do not be afraid. Jesus gives us courage amidst life's storms because he is with us. We need not be afraid. So how about you? Do you know that Jesus is with you right now in the midst of your life's storm? Will you find strength and not be afraid because Jesus says, I am? Second, we saw that Peter walked on water when he had his eyes on Jesus, yet he sank when he looked at the wind and the waves. We must learn to keep our eyes on Jesus in the midst of life's storms, because when we start to focus on our problems and our inability to solve our problems, we sink under the overwhelming weight. So what are your eyes on this morning, Jesus or the storm? Are you growing in faith through looking to Jesus, or growing in doubt as you look around at the wind and the waves? If you're sinking this morning, will you stretch out your hand and, like Peter, cry out to Jesus, Lord, save me? He will hear your prayer. Finally, we saw that Jesus calmed the storm and the disciples worshiped him as the Son of God. When we follow Jesus, he often calms the storms in our lives. And ultimately, Jesus will calm every storm in this world when he returns for those who love him. So the question for you and for me today is, do you believe in Jesus, the Son of God? Do you worship Jesus as Emmanuel, God with us? Do you trust in Jesus as the calmer of all your life's storms? Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that you came into this world. You truly are Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus, you are the Son of God. You have power to walk on water in the midst of the storm. You have power to calm the storm. Lord, you are in control. No matter what we are going through, you are in control. You are above it, walking over it. And Lord, you can calm our storm. You can solve, you can end it at any time. And yet, Lord, oftentimes we doubt. Why can't you take it away right now? But Lord, we thank you that it's through these storms that our faith grows. Our faith in you grows. Lord, we thank you that oftentimes you are faithful to take away the storms, to calm them. And ultimately, Lord, we trust in you. One day you will come back for those who love you, and you will calm every storm in this world. And there will be no more pain, no more tears, no more suffering. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you calm the storm. In Jesus' name, amen.